97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome in. And Mark Cox here, along with my friend Bo Matthews and producer Carl Middleman.
Pew pew.
Taking you outdoors and talking about the Second Amendment and all things that are great. And a happy Easter weekend to everybody.
Do you think we're going to get another freeze before it's all said and done? Think we're springtime
now? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
My wife always likes to remind me she's got a birthday coming up in mid-April. The 16th, and she is going to remind me constantly that it has snowed on her birthday before. So we're not out of the woods yet. Our fourth or fifth winter may still be coming. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be. It's not been a real bad one. Like last year, we only had like two snows. It's not been terrible here. It's been cold, but not terrible.
Big fan of climate change myself. I don't know about you.
Your wife's birthday is mid-April.
Yes.
So are you off the hook all the way until the birthday? Because I celebrate my wife's birthday all month long.
Bo, shut your mouth. What are you doing? Are you trying to get me in trouble? I don't know what the odds are this, but come on.
It's true. Good luck with that.
Thank you. Well, my daughter is the 10th and my wife's the 16th. So it's a birthday month, no matter how you look at it.
There you go. By the way, I heard early in the morning this past week on the Mark Cox Morning Show, your daughter singing the national anthem. Yeah.
Thank you for that, sir. Were you in the thought tub when you heard that?
I was, and it was just her voice is unbelievable.
You were very kind to say that. We were at the St. Charles County Lincoln Day dinner, and they asked my daughter to sing the national anthem. And she is a sophomore in high school, and she stood right up there and belted it out like a professional. So I was very proud of her.
Her vibrato was just, I mean, that's what I first pick up. I'm a former singer, a shower singer, if you will.
There you go.
But man, I'll tell you what, I was impressed. Was that planned or did they just have nobody show up and they were like, can you do it?
No.
Or did she have time to prepare?
We planned it. She had time to practice and, you know, there was no music or anything. She just stood up and was winging it, but she did a great job. She killed it. I actually thought she held back a little bit because she's got a fantastic range, and I'm sure she could have been louder if she needed to. She was in a stadium somewhere. She could have let it go. But in a banquet room, you kind of have to tame it down a little bit. So I thought she did a great job.
Thank you.
That was great. And she's a sophomore. That's amazing.
Yeah,
so where did the music come from? From you or your wife?
I don't know. I don't know if I got an ancestor somewhere who had a beautiful singing voice. It was not me. It was not my wife. I love her, but she would admit that. It was neither of our parents that we're aware of. So I don't know where it came from. Just blessed by the good Lord with a beautiful voice.
And fearless to get in front of a crowd.
She's in the theater thing, so that's not... I don't think that's as big of a surprise, but yeah, thank you for saying that.
American Idol journey for her. That's not going to happen.
She has participated in some local talent contests. We'll see where that goes. You know, everybody says, is she going to go to the Muni? And I'm like, well, I mean, here's the thing you need to know about the Muni. The Muni does have the Muni kids. They go out there and they participate in a lot of professional productions, many of them in the background, sort of. But they have to pass the dancing test first before they have them sing, and her strength is her singing, and she would admit that she's not been one of those kids that's been in tap shoes since she was 4 years old. So there are kids that have better dancing skills than her, and I don't know that that's necessarily what's that? Am I saying what?
Did she get her dancing skills from you?
No. I am the equivalent of a pig on ice when I dance. She's a very good dancer. It's just that there are people out there who've been dancing their whole lives, and that's often what the people at the Muni are looking for. So, you know, maybe someday there's an event where it's just looking for voice talent, and then that'll be her thing. So that's good.
I'll tell you, it was really impressive. So congratulations on having such a wonderful singer in your family.
Well, you're very kind. I appreciate that.
That was at the Lincoln Days event.
Yeah, 500 people showed up for that. It was fantastic. And I think they broke a record. And I'm not saying that I had anything to do with that. They had Josh Hawley as the keynote speaker and a lot of other politicians who showed up, Bill Eigel and others who are running for statewide office out there in St. Charles County, Adam Schnelting and a lot of folks who were there. And I think it's an indication of the enthusiasm for change. Does that make sense? I think I've gone to these things before where there were the 200 people, and this one had 500 people. And
that's right.
They didn't just all come to hear Josh Hawley. They didn't just all come to hear, you know, my daughter sing. They were there because they're enthused about making a change in this country in November. And I think that bears well for election turnout in November.
Right.
I think people are fired up.
I would agree with that. And, I mean, you can look at a Trump rally and see thousands in the arena. And then you can look at where Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were over this past week in North Carolina. Of course, they never show the crowd, but it sounded to me, you know, I'm not the guy who guesses how many people showed up to the VP fair downtown, but I would say there was about 40 people in the room.
Yeah.
By the amount of clapping going on. And I was like, ooh.
There's definitely an enthusiasm gap there somewhere on the Biden side. It doesn't mean that their hardcore voters aren't going to turn out, but they've got to get a lot of independents and other people fired up and motivated to go to the polls. And I'm not sure Trump derangement syndrome in and of itself is enough to drive that for them. They'll try to ramp it up on the abortion issue, and they'll try to get people angry over that and try to get them to probably try to claim democracy will end if Trump gets elected. That's a really strange argument for people who are trying to lock up their political opponents. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. And they're never going to speak loudly, but they are going to continue to fight against having a Second Amendment in this country. So that's why we also have to vote correctly and strongly and in, you know, mass numbers come election time, because it's very frightening as to what could happen if we were to lose a Second Amendment. You know, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors is here for a reason. We got to have people supporting it as well.
Well, you've got an administration that's got offices designed to figure out how to restrict your Second Amendment rights and do end runs around the Constitution. So it is important. It's important at the state level. Clearly, it's very important at the federal level. And this weekend, Bo, I don't know if you paid any attention to this or not, they had a crime summit. I'm doing air quotes here. It's not great radio, but they did a crime summit in the region where they've got together the elected leaders from several different local municipalities, including the city and St. Louis County and St. Charles County and others. And it's part of the East-West Gateway Council. They put this together to try to figure out regional ways to address crime. Well, the hot spot of all that, obviously, is the city of St. Louis. And
that's right.
Steve Ellman and Mayor Jones got into it because he made some couple of common sense suggestions, like, you know, maybe you need to hire more police officers, number one. Maybe you need to quit defunding the police, number two. Maybe, just maybe, we should put in a rule where you have to hire at least 10 police officers for every social worker you think is going to replace police in public safety. And that's when they really got into it. Carl, if you'd play that interaction between Jones and Ellman here, that'd be great.
Today, things got a bit heated between two area leaders, St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones and St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman, after Ellman proposed several amendments to the crime-fighting plan. One of those amendments mandated for every one social worker hired, 10 police officers also need to be hired. And that led to this exchange.
So, you know what? I've sat here and I've listened to all of your amendments, but this one, okay. I'm drawing the line.
No.
I really need you to withdraw this.
It just says
We are hiring officers. We just graduated a class of 11. We have a class of 17 in our current class, and we have a class of 30 starting in 2 months.
We've got to improve the work of the police departments. We got to get our police departments working together. We got to get them fully staffed. And I think only if you do that are you going to be able to fix the crime problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. It almost seems like too little too late. Although, you know, the officers that are stepping up to the plate, going through the course and getting their diploma to serve in the city, hats off to you for doing that. But, you know, the mayor says that violence is the top issue facing the city. You know what? I don't see it. I don't see the progress because it's still frightening for so many people.
Here's what Jane Duker, who is a Democrat and an attorney, former chief of staff to Governor Bob Holden here in Missouri. So that's how much of a Democrat she is. And that's fine. I love Jane. She's on this radio station. She's on 97.1 all the time, right?
Yes, she is.
This is what she said about this blow up at the crime summit. The mayor has run off 529 officers since 2021. Bragging about hiring a few is pathetic. And why are they discussing social workers at all? They can't respond to violent crimes. Violent crime is the problem. Now, 529 officers have left. Some of those are retirements and, you know, it's just attrition and they're having trouble keeping up. But the point is, people are leaving the city from law enforcement roles because they don't get any support. And that, to me, that's what this is all about. If they're not going to pay them well and they're not going to give them the resources they need to do their job and they're going to backstab them all the time with different policies,
you
can see exactly why it's happening, right?
And the prosecuting attorney's office, you know, being weak for so long. You know, you don't feel like you have the support that you need,
right?
If you're going to try and investigate something and try and, you know, to find somebody that's guilty for something. But I mean, just look at the potholes in St. Louis. You know, the mayor should be able to handle a lot of these things. Hire a bunch of police officers. Let's get the road crew out there filling the potholes. I mean, the roads are horrible, right? It's just.
The question it's posed so was, where are we going to get the money for that? And Steve Ellman said, I got three letters for you, NFL. They got all this NFL settlement money, and they're not spending any of it on police.
And didn't I hear recently that there's still COVID money in the bank?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if ARPA funds. I don't know if the ARPA funds can be used for that, but they're sure using them for a lot of other things that don't make any sense. So why you wouldn't use them to fund the police, I have no idea. You know, Bo, on the issue of guns, I got a new one the other day. I got a nice Browning Satori over and under, so you and I got to head to the range.
You have been talking about this. You finally got it.
Because you've got one too, right?
Yeah, I have a Benelli M2.
Oh, okay, nice.
So I'm ready for it.
Okay.
But actually this week, so we need to set up. I was actually looking for a place to go and do some skeet shooting or sport shooting, you know, sporting clays.
You can do both.
And I know, I kept thinking about the Jay Henges shooting range. I've never been to it. It's a huge education center right there at Antire Hill as you cross over into Eureka from St. Louis. And I've never been. They're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. But when I started finding out information about this, like it's $5 an hour to go. They provide the targets for you. I mean, this is a state-funded shooting range.
And
there's many in the state, but this one's so close.
It's cheap, and hopefully people will show up out there. It's my son was on Team Henges, the trap shooting team, for a while, so I've been out there quite a bit.
You've talked about that.
There's trap shooting. I don't think they have skeet. I think it's trap. There are trap fields where you can practice. There are places you can pattern a shotgun on one side of that as well. And then down below where the trap shooting is where the actual pistol and rifle range is. Professionally managed. They really keep a keen eye on safety and making sure all weapons are unloaded before everybody steps out of the booth before they go down range to change targets and all that stuff. So it is a great place and reasonably priced, like $5 per hour, I think.
Yeah,
that's really reasonable for an outdoor range like that. So for people that haven't been out there, it'd be a great place to go to do either the trap shooting to practice. We could go do some of that, or just to take our rifles down there and practice.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I went to the Arnold Gun Range, and it was a great experience. I went with a friend that was a member. It's a big place. It's very cool. But when you're in that environment, you know, you're talking to your buddy, and, you know, you're sharing stories, and then you, you know, blow up a few things, and then you shoot a few things. And what I want to do, and now that I realize this is so close and it's open to the public, I just want to go myself and take the firearms I want to practice with, you know, just sit there and be with there, clean them. And you know, all the things that we talk about on the show, I'm just so excited to go out there for the first time. Closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. They provide the targets, as I mentioned, but hearing protection and safety glasses are required, and they'll provide those as well at no charge. Yeah. I mean, these are wonderful things that our tax dollars pay for, and I'm just so excited.
Tax dollars at work. Yeah, absolutely. And also, if for people to the west of downtown St. Louis, Bush Wildlife also has a shooting facility out there, shooting range. So
right. One of my favorite things on their website, mdc.mo.gov, is that it's $5 per hour for archery or shotguns or shooting booth, cash or checks only, no credit card or debit cards. I was like, oh yeah, I found my home.
Let's maybe we need to bring the Department of Conservation into the 20th century. I don't know. I'm a little surprised.
No. I'm good with that. I'm good with cash.
That's fantastic.
Well, I tell you what, we got a great show coming up for you. We're going to talk a little bit about how you can win a gun. There's a couple of great raffles that Bo Matthews is plugged into, and we can get you tickets for that. And a little later, we're going to talk about a guy who's bringing sort of a unique approach to gun safety and training in communities between here and Atlanta, Georgia, all over the place. But he's a St. Louisan, and we'll talk to him coming up on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Radio and the Great Outdoors. Glad that you're here with us today. Bo Matthews, Mark Cox, Carl Middleman along with you. And always, I have to tell you, Bo, I'm always a sucker for buying a raffle ticket if a gun is involved. You know, I'm a sure sale if that's an issue. Because I've never won one in my life, but I'm always hoping beyond hope.
I've won two myself, actually.
I know.
But,
I know.
I have to tell you, though, I have not been able to sell any of these tickets because I haven't seen you in person, and I know you're good for it, but for some reason, people don't want to buy these gun raffle tickets from me.
I don't understand that. I really don't. But hopefully, though, because of your recent luck, and you and our next guest, you've both been buying Powerball tickets because let's just see how far that luck goes. You know what I'm saying?
You know that's right.
That's right.
Yeah. So, we've invited Chuck Mayer. He is the president of the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund and a dear friend for many years, and also a fellow winner in the 12 Guns of, A Year of Guns. That's what it is. Chuck, also a winner. He got a nice one, too. What did you end up with?
It was a Springfield Garrison.
Nice.
1911.
Yeah. Fits in your hand beautifully, too, doesn't it?
It does. You know, Mark, I was just thinking, Bo was in New Jersey about a week ago.
Yes.
And somebody in New Jersey won the Powerball.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that. Chuck, thank you. Yeah, or was it the month? Powerball?
Mega Millions,
wasn't it? It was Mega Millions.
Or Mega Millions, yeah.
But the fact that I'm on this microphone means I didn't win.
Yeah, I might not tell everybody if I win, but there'll be signs like not showing up to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3-inch slabs of bologna on my sandwich. Yeah,
that's right.
Anyway, so we do have, in addition to a Year of Guns gun raffle, that, by the way, the April drawing for Mark Cox is going to be the Ruger GP100, and it's a beautiful revolver to add to your collection if you
win. I'll bet it is.
Yeah. But we have a different gun raffle, a separate one, but it all goes to the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. And Chuck, go ahead and describe the Henry and the Sig Sauer for us, if you don't mind.
Well, the Henry, if you're familiar with guns, that's the elite rifle. It's whatever collector has and wants. It's a Golden Boy 22 rifle. And then the Sig Sauer is a 9mm. It's a NRA edition, special edition. So they're both nice, nice firearms.
And we're both selling tickets. Have you had any luck selling yours?
I got all mine sold.
Oh, come on.
Where you been? Where you been, Bo? You're behind.
You must have given him a fake name or something. I don't know. But they're $10 a ticket, only $300 per firearm. And it really is it's a great cause and really some cool guns. So technically for the Police Officer Support Fund, we have 14 guns that we're doing drawings. Plus at the Poker Bash, there's going to be even more that are going to be there.
Silent auction
items.
We're
going to be raffling off some Ruger 22 revolvers the day of.
Nice. So tell people who are listening here to the podcast or to the broadcast where they can go to secure some of these tickets without driving to the well-hidden property of one Bo Matthews.
They can go to the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund Facebook page, or they can call our office, the Realty Executive's office in Eureka. We have the tickets there at the office. We also have some sponsorships available, and if anybody would like to make a donation for the silent auction for the poker tournament, there's also some opportunities there available still.
Well, I just have to thank both of you gentlemen because, I mean, I know there are a number of police officer associations and support funds in the area. I can't think of one more active than what you guys do all the time for our law enforcement friends down in Eureka. I think that is fantastic. Thank you both for that.
No, it's a great organization.
I appreciate you guys and everything you do for the rights to own guns so we can continue to do this stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, really, the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund has been around, what, 9-10 years now, Chuck?
This is the 10th year. It'll be the 8th year for the poker tournament.
Right. And the poker tournament is Cinco de Mayo. And, you know, we are going to have a Mexican food theme for the day because it is Cinco de Mayo. And I'm hoping that we can get the bandoleras with the shot glasses and the tequila bottles as sidearms. Wouldn't that be good to have at the Poker Bash, don't you think, Mark?
I think it'd be great. I wish I could go this year. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to. I'm going to be out of the country when you guys are doing it. I hate that.
Oh, boy.
But I will be in a better place. I'll be in Italy, so it'll be okay. Sorry.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna shake you down for some of these raffle tickets beforehand. And Chuck's wife Kim is the one that keeps track of signups for the Poker Bash. Make a $50 donation, right, this year?
Correct.
$50 donation to play in the game, all your food, your beverages. It's going to be a blast. It always is. And remember, back in December, I won those two alcohol packages from another fundraiser. So our wheelbarrow of booze is going to be jacked up.
It's going to be huge.
We're going to have a bunch.
Huge.
It's going to be huge, exactly. So
always some great silent auction items down there, too. I would encourage people to go. And if you love poker, you're going to have a great time in between the breaks and when they're switching tables and narrowing things down. I mean, the silent auction items, honestly, I got a couple of fantastic deals there last year. I hope people will pay attention. I know that, right? So whether you win a gun or not, it's a fantastic time.
Yeah, and Chuck has found us and secured us a new location this year, even bigger and better. Go ahead and tell him about it.
Yes, this year it's going to be at the Holiday Inn at Six Flags right there in Eureka. You've never been there. It's a great location, great event. They have a event center upstairs. It was actually back from the Civil War. It was actually a hospital at one time, so pretty cool.
Whoa.
A lot of history there. A little bit more room, so it's going to be a great event.
Yeah,
and then afterwards
and go ahead.
No, this is going to say, then afterwards you can say, I'm not a brain surgeon, but I spent the day yesterday at the Holiday Inn Express. Sorry, bad joke.
You're going to spend the night before or spend the night afterwards. We're going to have margaritas also. So
yeah, no kidding.
Spend the night afterwards.
We did talk about that at our last Poker Bash meeting. By the way, if you're wanting to donate a package or a gift for the silent auction, contact me or contact the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund on Facebook. But we did talk about the opportunity, since it is the Holiday Inn and it's a beautiful hotel, people may want to secure a room so they can really have a good time and then just stay there overnight. It's a good idea, I think. I'm thinking about
it. Yeah, correct. They can make a whole weekend out of it.
Exactly. All right, Chuck, thank you, and keep selling those tickets because I'm having no luck here except maybe two for Carl and for Mark. But by the way, I was in Eureka the other day and drove past the site of the new facility for the city hall and the police department and all that stuff, and the construction looks like it's going really well. And of course, I'll pound the chest of the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. They're going to be funding the equipment in the physical fitness room for the law enforcement officers that are there in Eureka. So looking forward to being a part of that whole project.
Yeah, it's moving along really well. They're supposed to be moved in by just after the first of the year, sometime in January.
Wow.
So before we let Chuck go, Chuck has offered to take me and you fishing, Bo. We got to take him up on that. You know what I'm saying?
I got that. Yeah, I got that text, too. That was cool.
Yep, whenever you're ready, just let me know. I got the boat all warmed
Let's
up.
Let's go now.
No kidding. Yeah, we'll look forward to that. Lake of the Ozarks, right?
Yes, sir.
Want to get down there before all the crazies do and all the party animals.
Easter weekend's a perfect weekend for that.
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
The weather's going to be nice. Yeah, it is. Are you going down there?
No, unfortunately, our office, we do an Easter egg hunt every year, so we'll be doing that
Saturday
and clean it up Sunday. So.
Good deal. All right, Chuck, thanks for everything you do, brother. Really appreciate it. And I will talk to you soon. So thanks, huge thanks to Chuck Mayer leading our Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. Again, go to the Facebook page to get your tickets for the gun raffles and to secure your seat at the Poker Bash on Cinco de Mayo.
Should be awesome.
Unless you see Bo Matthews out in person and he's got tickets on his person.
I do everywhere I go.
Where are you going, Bo? Are you going to be anywhere soon where people might be able to find you?
I'll put posts on Facebook if I'm going to be selling them out in public. But really, I mean, I've got 40 of them to sell, and I haven't sold a one. So
your odds are really increased when you do these local gun raffles like that. So I would encourage people
100%
buy one and support the Eureka Police Officers Association.
Arm in America.
Yeah, that's right. All right. That's right. Coming up, we're going to talk to Kevin KD Dixie, and I have never met Kevin, but he is part of a No Other Choice firearms training. He says it's about a lot more than just firearms and self-defense, and he's trying to change communities with what he's trying to do. We'll get to all that and more straight ahead.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. This segment is brought to you proudly by Razorback Armory, where we have a Bo Matthews special. When you go in and you mention Bo Matthews and you buy a Glock, they have a bunch of merch that they are handing out to people that are buying a brand new Glock from Razorback Armory. So to find out more and what you're going to get when you get one, go to RazorbackArmory.com for their address and information. But they're right there on Manchester Road, just east of 270. Go see Jesse and Brad and their crew. They got a great crew, and they got a great selection, especially of the Glocks. So check it out, and don't forget to mention Bo Matthews. They'll take good care of you. Our next guest is a guy that goes by KD, which is ironic because I just started watching Hand of God, the series on Amazon, I think it is, and Ron Perlman. Did you see the series, Mark?
I have not seen it, no.
It's kind of like Your Honor with, what's his name, from Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
But anyway, there's a character in the show called Katie. And they kept calling this guy Katie, and I was like, why are they calling him Katie? Well, it was his initials, like our guest, Kevin Dixie. He's on the phone to talk about his No Other Choice firearms training. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, gentlemen. How are you guys this morning?
Doing fine.
Doing great. We are interested because somebody suggested we needed to have you on this program to talk about what you do. And as I understand it, No Other Choice firearms training is much more than firearms and self-defense training company. So, Katie, we want to give you the floor to talk about what you do and how people can find you.
All right. Well, one thing, I want to thank you once again for you and your audience's time. So my name is Kevin Dixie. I'm from north side of St. Louis, born and raised. I'm a recent transplant to the Atlanta, Georgia area, but St. Louis bleeds through me through and through. Two miles from the Braves Stadium, that really bothers me as a Cardinals guy.
I'll bet.
You know, I am I spent 10 years with the, like I said, born and raised in the area. Spent about a decade with the St. Louis City PD in our prisoner processing division. And it did executive protection, bodyguard and services, some other security-related services for about the better part, about 16 to 17 years of my life total. And just decided that one thing that I saw after the boom of the tactical industry when it came to firearms training, you know, after 9/11, obviously we all remember that. And when we had our boys and girls coming back home from service, you know, the tactical boom because of the emotions of Americans and for good reason and employment needs and people want to bring those services home. It was great. But we had things like, you know, tactical death, murder, kill academy, you know, shoot them twice in the face school and really aggressive things. And one thing that I realized is that while we are potentially giving people great skills and empowering the Second Amendment and self-defense and things of that nature, we weren't teaching people about how to be responsible with that skill. We can still give you a high level of skill, but unfortunately, those guys that were kicking in doors in Afghanistan didn't see what happened when Susan or Carl did the wrong thing here stateside, and I'm the guy that's sending them to prison for 35 years.
Wow.
Right? So it's not as simple as just do the thing. We have to also be thinkers and employ the cognitive thought process into what we do, because I am seeing what happens when good people make bad decisions. I'm the one putting them in a cage. I'm the one watching their families try to break through bulletproof glass to get them out. I'm the one that's seeing moms, daughters, husbands, wives crying because they don't know when they're going to physically touch their loved one again. I'm the one that's putting grown men on suicide watch in a paper gown because now they realize I thought I did the right thing, and now all of a sudden my life is flashing before my eyes and I don't want to be here anymore. And I'm the one that's preventing them from doing that. So I wanted to bring No Other Choice, and that's philosophy. We want to extend God's grace and mercy to others as we want to extend it to us, as long as we don't allow ourselves or other innocent persons to get hurt in the process. Be at a point of No Other Choice before you ever have to, you know, cause negative impact to a human being. But if you have to do it, you will do it with extreme prejudice, extreme violence, and you will go home at the end of the day. So that's kind of where it started. And after firearms training, I also started Miami for the Truth program. Well, I've been running that softly for right around 20 years, and I've been in firearms for about 25 years. And Miami for the Truth program is our way of giving back. So it's the way of healing communities. Instead of blaming the gun, we want to get deep into the root of the problems. I am from the inner city. I don't have to tell you guys what inner city St. Louis has a reputation for, right? So living that and breathing that and seeing that every single day of my life, not something I read in the book, not something I just heard stories about, like I was the story. So seeing that, I wanted to make sure that we got away from blaming a gun, right? Gun violence. I don't believe in gun violence. I believe there's violence and then people choose a tool.
Yeah,
right. It could be a car, it could be a bat, it could be whatever. But how can we get the human, the machine, to be better? So in that program, you know, we've fed families, fed kids, given coaching advice, help people get employment, help people get jobs, taught reading, writing, and financial literacy skills, de-escalation skills, civics, general gentleman behavior to young men, dealing with emotions and balancing out the family life, and also at the same time holding families accountable. So I work with the NFL through their All-Pro Dad program. Through that and then after that, we put roughly about 122 fathers back into the lives of their children so we can have these young children actually having guidance, but equipping the fathers with the tools to be able to do it.
Yeah, I was about to say, Katie, how do you get to your audience? I mean, how do you reach that audience?
It ain't easy, and you got to be very, very direct and very, very brash. I'm known for being somebody that will, you know, really hug you and punch you in the face at the same time, right? So we have to be able to love but be honest and be blunt with our message.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds...
Katie, are you having any luck going through the churches? Is a church a good place to start to reach that audience, or at least the family of the people that you're trying to reach?
You know, that's a very good question. We've actually done one of the biggest... I would say productions we've done was actually in the church on the west side of St. Louis. We actually brought, you know, the NRA in, and we put it on NRA TV with the program. But since then, what's really happened is that churches are politically swayed, whether people want to realize that or not, right? The separation of state and church is really not as clear as we would like it, and they're politically swayed. So although I don't have a political identity, I'm about freedom and human advancement, once they hear gun, they think conservative, and they think violence because that's what they've been introduced to, and then they're out. Wow. So those avenues are hard. So right now, really using social media, and when platforms are open to have a challenging conversation, taking advantage.
Yeah, it is a challenging conversation. That's the, I mean, that really gets back to the root of the problem. They had a crime summit in St. Louis this week with the Mayor Jones of the city and local county executives and all getting together trying to figure out a regional approach to the crime problem. And, you know, what we're doing in the city is hiring social workers to go on calls where there should be police. And I don't know that that's the solution that we need to be educating people. And it sounds like that's what you're trying to do.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing that I would say politicians are really good at is throwing glaze on a donut,
yeah,
but never understanding how to cook the dough, right? Yeah. So when you want to just say, hey, we're going to have a crime summit, well, answer me this. Yes, you can say that police have a job to be experts at crime, right? That's kind of the whole point of having police. Okay, but they're one segment of it. Normally, and this is how you can tell the intent of a program, normally nobody else is really a subject matter expert at crime. And when they do want to bring a subject matter expert, you know what they bring in? They bring in the felon, because they are coaxing the audience to say that the only people that can tell you how to avoid these problems are people we put in prison.
Huh.
So we've already victimized these individuals based off the social structure that's been set up. But we're going to present them as pretty much the person you look up to say, hey, I know better. You know, don't go through what I've been through, but we'll all figure it out at the end, and we got to fix crime in our streets. And by the way, young boys, put down the guns. Instead of putting men like me, because I've offered the city of St. Louis for decades to freely help them. But instead of putting men like me that have been from the same environments, the only difference is maybe I didn't get caught doing some of the things I was doing, right? But lived a life, raised a family, you know, have a wife, have two wonderful kids, make a decent living. I don't have to give you the image of, no, you can't have a gun. I can actually tell you that now that I have equity in my life, young men, and I see what life truly is, and we escape these mental barriers, let me show you how you can use this gun to protect everything that is going to be at risk if you obtain it. Because you think that you're going to be safe if you are in the streets with a gun, right, using it the wrong way and becoming using that as violence as a source of protection. But you're also not going to be safe from the government when you start to obtain things and have things and have an awakening and know that you want to build your family. Then you'll start to realize that if it's the government or just a common criminal on the street, there are still people that want to victimize you.
Yeah.
So let's not just say, oh, gun bad. Let's actually promote positive influence in people's lives, giving them a real example of who they can be and what they can be, and then show them how the gun is used to protect them. Because we all know what happens when you convince a population to disarm themselves. We don't want that.
That's true.
Yes, we do. Yep, we've learned it around the world, actually. Kevin Dixie, KD, he goes by, from No Other Choice Firearms Training. So you mentioned you're down in Georgia. I don't know if you're on vacation or you move, but how can people assist you, support you, learn from you? How can we get the word out? Certainly we're, you know, broadcasting from St. Louis, but of course the podcast takes it everywhere. Are you going nationwide with No Other Choice Firearms Training? And beyond that, I also want to know what you actually do in some of those training courses.
Oh, great. Yeah. So we travel around the country. I mean, I'm from everywhere, from the Northeast to Alaska. We go everywhere. To reach out to us is easy. Just go to our website, nootherchoice.com. Our email is there, but our email is info@nootherchoice.com. And yes, I recently moved to Atlanta, but I still service the St. Louis area. If you want to follow me on social media, that's really easy on all platforms. I am the most active on Instagram, but I'm across all platforms. That's the Real, REALNOC, for No Other Choice, and you can reach me on all social media platforms, and feel free to engage and get in the comments and DM and all those things. And as far as what we teach, we primarily focus on rifle and pistol. Those are my two things. We teach those in different brackets at different levels, but we handle everybody from, hey, this is my first gun. I have staff members that still teach that, and I love to jump in that as well. All the way up to, if you have a unit that needs training, if you have guys that have been running guns for years, girls that have been running guns for years, they want to be pushed to the next level, we have staff and services for them as well. So we like to be a business that doesn't shun our nose at anybody. If you want to understand how to defend yourself, we want to be an asset to you.
Very good. Kevin Dixie, thank you for your time.
No, thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, keep up the good work there. No Other Choice Firearms Training, taking a unique approach to that whole issue.
And I noticed he mentioned God in his opening statements.
Yes.
And so I want to wish him a happy Easter as well, because it is Easter weekend, people. Beautiful
yep.
weather, Easter egg hunting, and hopefully everybody's going to get together with family and spend some time with them.
Getting outside and enjoying it. No doubt about that. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. Like Bo said, take advantage of that warm weather. So happy spring is here. We can get outdoors again, right, Bo?
Absolutely. Have a great rest of your weekend. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. This segment is brought to you proudly by Razorback Armory, where we have a Bo Matthews special. When you go in and you mention Bo Matthews and you buy a Glock, they have a bunch of merch that they are handing out to people that are buying a brand new Glock from Razorback Armory. So to find out more and what you're going to get when you get one, go to RazorbackArmory.com for their address and information. But they're right there on Manchester Road, just east of 270. Go see Jesse and Brad and their crew. They got a great crew, and they got a great selection, especially of the Glocks. So check it out, and don't forget to mention Bo Matthews. They'll take good care of you. Our next guest is a guy that goes by KD, which is ironic because I just started watching Hand of God, the series on Amazon, I think it is, and Ron Perlman. Did you see the series, Mark?
I have not seen it, no.
It's kind of like Your Honor with, what's his name, from Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
But anyway, there's a character in the show called Katie. And they kept calling this guy Katie, and I was like, why are they calling him Katie? Well, it was his initials, like our guest, Kevin Dixie. He's on the phone to talk about his No Other Choice firearms training. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, gentlemen. How are you guys this morning?
Doing fine.
Doing great. We are interested because somebody suggested we needed to have you on this program to talk about what you do. And as I understand it, No Other Choice Firearms Training is much more than firearms and self-defense training company. So, Katie, we want to give you the floor to talk about what you do and how people can find you.
All right. Well, one thing, I want to thank you once again for you and your audience's time. So my name is Kevin Dixie. I'm from north side of St. Louis, born and raised. I'm a recent transplant to the Atlanta, Georgia area, but St. Louis bleeds through me through and through. Two miles from the Braves Stadium, that really bothers me as a Cardinals guy. I spent 10 years with the, like I said, born and raised in the area. Spent about a decade with the St. Louis City PD in our prisoner processing division, and it did executive protection, bodyguard services, some other security-related services for about the better part, about 16 to 17 years of my life total. And just decided that one thing that I saw after the boom of the tactical industry when it came to firearms training, after 9/11, obviously we all remember that. And when we had our boys and girls coming back home from service, the tactical boom because the emotions of Americans, and for good reason, and employment needs, and people want to bring those services home. It was great, but we had things like, tactical death, murder, kill academy, shoot them twice in the face school, and really aggressive things. And one thing that I realized is that while we are potentially giving people great skills and empowering the Second Amendment and self-defense and things of that nature, we weren't teaching people about how to be responsible with that skill. We can still give you a high level of skill, but unfortunately, those guys that were kicking in doors in Afghanistan didn't see what happened when Susan or Carl did the wrong thing here stateside, and I'm the guy that's sending them to prison for 35 years.
Wow.
Right? So it's not as simple as just do the thing. We have to also be thinkers and employ the cognitive thought process into what we do, because I am seeing what happens when good people make bad decisions. I'm the one putting them in a cage. I'm the one watching their families try to break through bulletproof glass to get them out. I'm the one that's seeing moms, daughters, husbands, wives crying because they don't know when they're going to physically touch their loved one again. I'm the one that's putting grown men on suicide watch in a paper gown because now they realize I thought I did the right thing, and now all of a sudden my life is flashing before my eyes and I don't want to be here anymore, and I'm the one that's preventing them from doing that. So I wanted to bring No Other Choice, and that's the philosophy. We want to extend God's grace and mercy to others as we want to extend it to us, as long as we don't allow ourselves or other innocent persons to get hurt in the process. Be at a point of no other choice before you ever have to, cause negative impact to a human being. But if you have to do it, you will do it with extreme prejudice, extreme violence, and you will go home at the end of the day. So that's kind of where it started. And after firearms training, I also started Miami for the Truth program. Well, I've been running that softly for right around 20 years, and I've been in firearms for about 25 years. And my Aiming for the Truth program is our way of giving back. So it's the way of healing communities. Instead of blaming the gun, we want to get deep into the root of the problems. I am from the inner city. I don't have to tell you guys what inner city St. Louis has a reputation for, right? So living that and breathing that and seeing that every single day of my life, not something I read in the book, not something I just heard stories about, like I was the story. So seeing that, I wanted to make sure that we got away from blaming a gun, right? Gun violence. I don't believe in gun violence. I believe there's violence and then people choose a tool.
Yeah,
right. It could be a car, it could be a bat, it could be whatever. But how can we get the human, the machine, to be better? So in that program, you know, we've fed families, fed kids, given coaching advice, help people get employment, help people get jobs, taught reading, writing, and financial literacy skills, de-escalation skills, civics, general gentleman behavior to young men, dealing with emotions and balancing out the family life, and also at the same time holding families accountable. So I work with the NFL through their All-Pro Dad program. Through that and then after that, we put roughly about 122 fathers back into the lives of their children so we can have these young children actually having guidance, but equipping the fathers with the tools to be able to do it.
Yeah, I was about to say, Katie, how do you get to your audience? I mean, how do you reach that audience?
It ain't easy, and you got to be very, very direct and very, very brash. I'm known for being somebody that will, you know, really hug you and punch you in the face at the same time, right? So we have to be able to love but be honest and be blunt with our message.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds...
Katie, are you having any luck going through the churches? Is a church a good place to start to reach that audience, or at least the family of the people that you're trying to reach?
You know, that's a very good question. We've actually done one of the biggest... I would say productions we've done was actually in the church on the west side of St. Louis. We actually brought, you know, the NRA in, and we put it on NRA TV with the program. But since then, what's really happened is that churches are politically swayed, whether people want to realize that or not, right? The separation of state and church is really not as clear as we would like it, and they're politically swayed. So although I don't have a political identity, I'm about freedom and human advancement, once they hear gun, they think conservative, and they think violence because that's what they've been introduced to, and then they're out. Wow. So those avenues are hard. So right now, really using social media, and when platforms are open to have a challenging conversation, taking advantage.
Yeah, it is a challenging conversation. That really gets back to the root of the problem. They had a crime summit in St. Louis this week with the Mayor Jones of the city and local county executives and all getting together trying to figure out a regional approach to the crime problem. And, you know, what we're doing in the city is hiring social workers to go on calls where there should be police. And I don't know that that's the solution that we need to be educating people. And it sounds like that's what you're trying to do.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing that I would say politicians are really good at is throwing glaze on a donut, but never understanding how to cook the dough, right? Yeah. So when you want to just say, hey, we're going to have a crime summit, well, answer me this. Yes, you can say that police have a job to be experts at crime, right? That's kind of the whole point of having police. Okay, but they're one segment of it. Normally, and this is how you can tell the intent of a program, normally, nobody else is really a subject matter expert at crime. And when they do want to bring a subject matter expert, you know what they bring in? They bring in the felon, because they are coaxing the audience to say that the only people that can tell you how to avoid these problems are people we put in prison.
Huh.
So we've already victimized these individuals based off the social structure that's been set up. But we're going to present them as pretty much the person you look up to say, hey, I know better, you know, don't go through what I've been through, but we'll all figure it out at the end, and we got to fix crime in our streets. And by the way, young boys, put down the guns. Instead of putting men like me, because I've offered the city of St. Louis for decades to freely help them. But instead of putting men like me that have been from the same environments, the only difference is maybe I didn't get caught doing some of the things I was doing, right? But lived a life, raised a family, you know, have a wife, have two wonderful kids, make a decent living. I don't have to give you the image of, no, you can't have a gun. I can actually tell you that now that I have equity in my life, young men, and I see what life truly is, and we escape these mental barriers, let me show you how you can use this gun to protect everything that is going to be at risk if you obtain it. Because you think that you're going to be safe if you are in the streets with a gun, right, using it the wrong way and becoming and using that as violence as a source of protection. But you're also not going to be safe from the government when you start to obtain things and have things and have an awakening and know that you want to build your family. Then you'll start to realize that if it's the government or just a common criminal on the street, there are still people that want to victimize you. Yeah. So let's not just say, oh, gun bad. Let's actually promote positive influence in people's lives, giving them a real example of who they can be and what they can be, and then show them how the gun is used to protect them. Because we all know what happens when you convince the population to disarm themselves. We don't want that.
That's true. Yes, we do. Yep, we've learned it around the world, actually. Kevin Dixie, KD, he goes by, from No Other Choice Firearms Training. So you mentioned you're down in Georgia. I don't know if you're on vacation or you move, but how can people assist you, support you, learn from you? How can we get the word out? Certainly we're, you know, broadcasting from St. Louis, but of course the podcast takes it everywhere. Are you going nationwide with No Other Choice Firearms Training? And beyond that, I also want to know what you actually do in some of those training courses.
Oh, great. Yeah. So we travel around the country. I mean, I'm from everywhere from the Northeast to Alaska. We go everywhere. To reach out to us is easy. Just go to our website, nootherchoice.com. Our email is there, but our email is info@nootherchoice.com. And yes, I recently moved to Atlanta, but I still service the St. Louis area. If you want to follow me on social media, that's really easy on all platforms. I am the most active on Instagram, but I'm across all platforms. That's the Real, R-E-A-L-N-O-C, for No Other Choice, and you can reach me on all social media platforms, and feel free to engage and get in the comments and DM and all those things. And as far as what we teach, we primarily focus on rifle and pistol. Those are my two things. We teach those in different brackets at different levels, but we handle everybody from, hey, this is my first gun. I have staff members that still teach that, and I love to jump in that as well. All the way up to, if you have a unit that needs training, if you have guys that have been running guns for years, girls that have been running guns for years, they want to be pushed to the next level, we have staff and services for them as well. So we like to be a business that doesn't shun our nose at anybody. If you want to understand how to defend yourself, we want to be an asset to you.
Very good. Kevin Dixie, thank you for your time.
No, thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, keep up the good work there. No Other Choice Firearms Training, taking a unique approach to that whole issue.
And I noticed he mentioned God in his opening statements, yes. And so I want to wish him a happy Easter as well, because it is Easter weekend, people. Beautiful weather, Easter egg hunting, and hopefully everybody's going to get together with family and spend some time with them.
Getting outside and enjoying it, no doubt about that. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. Like Bo said, take advantage of that warm weather. So happy spring is here. We can get outdoors again, right, Bo?
Absolutely. Have a great rest of your weekend. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.